Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends say, let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me, around for me, around for me, it's turning around.
Just say it into the atmosphere.
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is
making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
No reason to doubt.
I know he's working it out. And it's turning around.
This is the good news.
And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concern. And sooner or later, it'll turn in my favor.
Sooner or later, turn in my favor.
It's turning around. Concerning me, and sooner or later, turn in my favor.
That just slip your hand into the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround. Hallelujah. Now let's say this together. Come on.
Around for me.
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 It's turning around.
I can see. I can feel it happen.
It's turning around, yeah.
That he's alive.
Lord,
nor the Son of Man.
because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls. And in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. Thank you.
Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. That the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance.
While you remain on your feet, both in here and in the gym, take your Bibles in your hand and turn to the Gospel of John in the fifth chapter. The Gospel of John in the fifth chapter. I want to begin reading at verse 1. We welcome all those who are worshiping with us by way of stream through Truth to Power Ministries. And we bless God for all of you who are watching. Several tweeted and said they were watching before they went to church. When you go to church, we'll be home. We thank God that you're watching from your home tonight. We hope that you're blessed. John chapter 5, verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. Amen. You may be seated in the very presence of our God. I want to preach tonight as the Spirit shall guide with this thought in our minds. Just when you least expect it. Just tell somebody, 2011 is the year when you get blessings when you least expect it. Least expected. The turn of the 20th century, there was what many called in history books a civil war of consciousness for people of color in this country. It was not between Union and Confederates, but if you know anything about history, it was a civil war of ideologies between those who subscribed to two giants of our community, Booker T. Washington, and those who subscribe to the philosophy of W.E.B. Du Bois. Washington espoused self-help, racial solidarity, and civic accommodation, urging blacks to accept discrimination for the time being and focus on hard work and secure material gain through being and through trade, rather. Du Bois adamantly disagreed, argued against that philosophy, and offered a strategy that he said would perpetuate political action, civil rights, and social change. If you've read any history, you know that at the core of Du Bois' argument was his understanding of the talented tenth. He believed that if we could get 10% of the community at that time to go to historical black colleges, that the 10% could infuse and inspire energy within the 90, and that the 90 would see the disposition and discipline of the 10 and then follow suit. Washington countered that we ought not focus on the 10% because that would make us elitists and build a caste system. He went on to say it would be easier to get into the hands of the 90% a trade. To which Du Bois countered, "If we go after the 90%, they won't follow through because they do not have the discipline to stay this course. They may get inspired, however," he said, "by seeing the 90. What they were debating about was what it takes to get somebody to the point of initiative to change their life and do something about their life. At the core of their argument, at the core of both of their arguments, was the belief that at some point you have to take some kind of initiative to change your own life. And that other people cannot always do it for you. And if there is not something within you resonating to be better than you are in yourself, then nothing else would help. They had two different understandings of how to get to that point. And I don't know if Jesus Christ were living which ideology he would fall up under. But as I read this text tonight, I see some indicators on his thoughts about self-help and change. In the text, Jesus does some very interesting and unusual things, preachers, that I think warrants our attention. Time of feast, one of the feasts of the Jews, and Jesus, being a good Jew, has come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And in this scene, we are introduced to a pool called Bethesda, which was by the sheep gate. Now, the sheep gate is very significant because it was the gate through which lamb or sheep were brought for the sacrifice that gave you access to the temple during the feast. I'm coming back to that. Bethesda was a double pool surrounded by colonnades on four sides, with a fifth standing on the dividing wall separating the northern and the southern pools. The five porches that were in the colonnades were on the two sides, with two on each end and one in the middle. Bethesda is translated, scholars say, three different ways: house of mercy, house of grace, or house of outpouring water. So get the picture. They are at the house of mercy, but everybody is in a mess. They're at the house of mercy, and ain't nobody looking like they've had any mercy. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because here we are tonight in the house of mercy, and all of us in here are a mess. Our messes might not all be the same, but everybody in here has got a mess in some kind of way. Not only does the place sound familiar, but the practice, because the text says that they all gathered with some kind of mystical understanding that an angel troubled the water. And when the water got troubled, if you got to the water first, whoever got first to the troubled water would get healed. So they came to this house of mercy looking for a trick to make them feel better. And tonight I feel like I'm at Bethesda, because I don't see this many folk on Sunday, which means a whole lot of folk came looking for a trick. I wish y'all would talk to me. The last day of the year, folk come running to Bethesda thinking that they can get a quick trick or hear a quick nursery rhyme or throw a little money on an altar, and all of a sudden all of their problems are going to disappear. And I know some of y'all ain't going to say amen, because I'm right on your street right about now. But how sad it is that people every now and then will use the church as a trick and use God, in the words of Harry Emerson Fosdick, as your cosmic bellhop who hopscotches down from glory to give you what you want on a silver platter. So in reality, they weren't there looking for mercy. They were there looking for manipulation. If I can just get the trick to work for me, then my life is going to be better. If I can just read the right scripture, read the right book, get in the right church, throw enough seed on the right altar, then all of a sudden all of my problems are going to disappear. But not only was that familiar, look at it. It said, whoever got there first, which meant they were not only there for a trick, but they had to have a spirit of competition. God help me tonight. How often in the church, y'all ain't gonna say amen, do we fight to be first? Woo! First with the title, first in the pastor's face, first on the seat, first with our name called. Y'all ain't saying nothing right through in here. So it was at this place where Jesus comes upon this scene of a multiplicity of issues and a plethora of people who are under the suspicion. Just notion that when the water got stirred, whoever got there first was going to get the miracle. Notice what Jesus does. He walks in to this crowded place, filled with people in need. And he walks past people who are crippled, walks over people who are blind, ignores people who are lame, just to get to one person. I dare you to touch your neighbor and tell him, I might be that one. Yeah. All of the other people at the pool, don't miss this, got issues just like the one. But Jesus ignores, disses, and skips over everybody else that's got an issue but this one man. So my question was, why him? I mean, I don't see nothing in the text about this man having a certain level of faith. I don't see nothing in the text about him being a son of Abraham. I don't see nothing in the text about the man calling out to Jesus. He's sitting there like everybody else, waiting on the water, hoping to be first. Why this brother? The text doesn't give us any hint, doesn't give us any clue as to why. But if I can add my spiritual supposition to the inquiry, the brother been in this condition for 38 years. Now, if you do the study, scholars will let us know that 38 years was longer than the average life expectancy for any male in the first century Roman Empire. So that means that the brother has been sick literally for a lifetime. The text says Jesus knew of the brother's long history and knew of his struggle with the condition. And HB, I've often heard this preached from the angle that Jesus saw the man and he looked like he'd given up. It looked like he was just there to be there. But I want to take another angle, y'all. I believe Jesus picked this man for the same reason he's going to pick some of y'all. I believe Jesus was honoring how the man had handled the crisis and practiced endurance. Stick with me. 38 years. And he's still showing up. I know he's showing up on a myth and a superstition. But if they believe it could get you out of the condition you're in, that means he keeps showing up. Because in spite of 38 years of pain and hell, he hasn't given up on getting better. God help me. His answer to Jesus shows us his confidence is low, but at least he's still showing up. He hadn't quit. He hadn't stopped living, because when you stop living, you start dying. And the reason many believers fall and fail during times of crisis and desperation is because they ain't willing to push through and endure whatever it takes to believe that their condition doesn't have the last word over their life. They give up. They resign themselves to a less than existence. They see no hope. They see no future. All they see is doom and gloom. They allow their circumstance to have the last word. 38 years of misery, and he's still believing that his condition ain't the last word. And I believe Jesus shows up and blesses this brother, because Jesus said, if after 38 years you still believe you can be better than you are right now, I'm going to honor that by blessing your life. And who am I talking to in here tonight? You've had a rough year. It's been hell on every side. But Jesus said, I'm coming for you, because through everything you've been through, you never quit. You never gave up. You never threw in the towel. You kept believing that things can get better. I tell you to shake somebody's hand and tell them, my condition will not have the last word. My situation will not be my definition. My condition will not cancel out my future. I'm going to keep showing up and believe that God will honor the fact that I refuse to quit. Can I talk to y'all in here? Because what this text shows me, y'all, is that it's always too soon to quit. I thought I had a prayer in church. Tell somebody it's always too soon to quit.
Can I call the roll of folk who've made examples of success when it looked like they should have quit? Yes, Dr. Seuss' first book was rejected by 23 publishers, but when he didn't quit, his first book sold 6 million copies. During the first year of business, Coca-Cola only sold 400 Cokes. Henry Ford went bankrupt twice in his first 3 years in the automobile business. Michelangelo spent 7 years on his back painting the Sistine Chapel. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. In 1905, the University of Berlin rejected the dissertation of Albert Einstein. John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress while laying up in a prison. Joseph had to go through a pit and a prison before he saw his dream in a palace. Moses had to go through a desert before he saw the land of promise. David had to go through murder him before he became the king. But I ain't got to go to the Bible. Somebody up in Bethel tonight can testify there were moments when I could have quit, but I kept on believing that he wouldn't bring me this far just to leave. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him it's too soon to quit. I know you're broke. I know you're going through. I know what the doctor said, but it's too soon to quit. Y'all sit down. I'm just talking. I believe God, Jesus, honored the fact that the brother kept believing that it could get better. Now, here was my other question that I ain't never heard. What about the ones who got overlooked? I mean, I need help. You gonna step over me and make me watch you heal somebody else without using the method we all here waiting on? And then let me get my hope up that you gonna do that to all us, and you did it to him and walked away? What about the folk that didn't get healed that day? I'm talking to somebody tonight. You came to church and you're going to shout 2011 is your year, but this may not be your day. Y'all don't like this. Y'all don't like this. You're going to leave out of here still broke, still sick, still on the verge of divorce, child still crazy. Y'all ain't talking to me now. What do I do when the Lord makes me watch other folk get it, and I got to leave still dealing with what I'm dealing with? Y'all ain't talking to me. You got to reach the point of saying, it just wasn't my turn yet, but I'm going to learn to celebrate whoever's turn it was. Because if I can celebrate your turn, I dare you to shake your neighbor's hand and tell them, it might not be my night tonight. And if it's yours, I'ma celebrate you, because I know mine has got to come. Ain't nobody shouting. Now see, if I told you you were gonna get a house, you were gonna get a car, you'd be running around this church. But every now and then, you got to, by faith, celebrate what he did for somebody else, believing that it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do it for you. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them, I'ma shout if you get it tonight. I'ma bless God if you get it tonight. I'ma scream if you get it tonight. Huh? What? Y'all sit down. I'm just talking. Watch. We're given several descriptions of the conditions at the pool. We ain't never told which one the man has. I believe he's got to be paralyzed. Now, when you're paralyzed, don't miss this. When you're paralyzed, you are stuck in a situation. Woo, where you can't go any further than where you currently are. When you're paralyzed, you want to move, It ain't that you done resigned yourself to paralysis, but something ain't functioning right on the inside. And it's manifesting the internal dysfunction in your external movement, preach boy. There are a whole lot of folk in here tonight paralyzed. Want it to be better. Want it to grow. Want it to look different. But you just can't seem to get it to do anything. And I came to tell you tonight, Jesus is going to honor your endurance. See, everybody likes to shout about deliverance. It don't take a whole lot to shout and smile on deliverance. It takes real faith to walk in endurance. Because endurance don't just mean you still going through, but endurance means you going through acting like you ain't going through. Endurance means folk can't look at you and tell how much you struggling. Endurance means you look better than the hell that you kept. Is there anybody in here who can say, I ain't been delivered, but I am enduring? I'm smiling. I'm giving God glory. I'm going to work on time. I got joy in my spirit. Now watch. Watch. I ain't going to be long. I got a long weekend ahead of me. Watch. Watch this. He honors the brother's endurance, but then he handles the brother's lack of enlightenment. Jesus asked this man this question. Dude, you want to be made whole? And the man shows the effects of failure on his endurance, even though he's still enduring. He said, I want it, but. The brother don't answer whether or not he want to be better. He didn't answer if he wants to make changes. Instead, he said, I'm not better because the government won't help me. I'm not better because the system won't help folk with a criminal rap sheet. I'm not better because I grew up in the projects. I'm not better because I ain't never know who my daddy was. I'm not better because the system is against me. I'm not better because of how folk treat me, because of what they know about me. Jesus said, I ain't asked you about people. I asked you about you. See, the question tonight is not what's going on against you. The question tonight is not who's against you that hadn't allowed it to happen. But the question tonight is, do you want to have a better life for yourself? Forget everything that has happened or not happened before tonight. I want to know, before you go into the new year, do you want your life to be whole? I ain't talking about money. I ain't talking about cars. I ain't talking about a boyfriend. But do you want to stand on your own two feet and be better than you've ever been in your life? Is there anybody in here who can say, forget all the excuses, I want a better life now? So, I'm just working one place. So watch, I love the way the King James says it. The brother said, I have no man. And I often wondered why Jesus ignored that. Because he don't know Jesus, so what he say he ain't got is in front of him. He says, I have no man. Jesus ignores that and just goes on to the miracle. Here's what I think. Jesus ignored that because Jesus is the very miracle manifestation that contradicts that excuse. Y'all didn't get it. Maybe his mama told him that when she was first told she was going to give birth to the Christ child, she said, how can this be? I know no man. Y'all ain't got it yet. Y'all ain't got it yet. Y'all. I believe Jesus said, I done heard that excuse before. And I'm the very evidence that that excuse can't stop nothing. So instead of me even dealing with your excuse, let me move on to your miracle. Can I tell you tonight that whatever excuse you got tonight, he's got a remedy that doesn't matter what your excuse is, which means don't spend your life empowering your excuses. Because in life, there are no excuses, there are only choices. See, Jesus is working on the brother's mind. Because as one verse says, he's impotent. Can I tell you that impotence is the incubator for irresponsibility? As long as I can't do it for myself, I can hold other people responsible for why they happened for me. Woo, I can hold other people responsible to help me get it. Y'all ain't said nothing. But if Jesus heals me, then I got to be responsible for myself. If Jesus heals you, you got to get off your 45-year-old behind in your mama's house and get a job. Y'all don't want to say that. If Jesus heals you, you got to stop making yourself a low-price hooker laying down just to pay a bill. Yeah. I ain't scared none of y'all. If Jesus heals you, then you got to work on your interview skills and go in there and make a good impression. If he heals you, then you got to go back to school, get that degree, since you know you need a degree to get a job other than slinging fish fries in McDonald's. So the question is, do you want what comes with being healed? Or have you gotten so used to irresponsibility that laziness has become your Lord? I'm sorry, I know this ain't the kind of New Year's Eve sermon y'all want. Because 2011 needs to be the year where you stop using other people as the reason you don't get your life together. Accept the wholeness of Jesus Christ. Get your life together and do what you can do for yourself. So watch what Jesus does. I'm almost done. Black preacher, I got four more. Almost done. Watch what Jesus does. The man offers nothing but excuses. Sean, he never answers the question. And Jesus still gives him the blessing. Jesus gives the man the miracle, and the man has done nothing but give excuses. I got a problem. All the real ride die folk getting ready to get your good shout. You want it for New Year's Eve. Because I thought I had learned biblically and theologically that you had to have faith, or somebody you connected to had faith for you. You know, if you got the faith, God's got the power. But when I read this text, I found out that even when you don't have the faith, I wish I had a witness in here, he still got the power. That's somebody's testimony tonight. There were times when you didn't believe God could do it, but he still showed you that he had the power, and he did it anyhow. Do I have any witnesses in here who can say, I didn't have the faith?
faith to believe he was going to make a way. I didn't have the faith to believe he was going to open that door. I didn't have the faith to believe he was going to heal me, but he did it anyhow. I dare you to shake somebody's hand and tell them he did it anyhow. When I didn't believe he could do it, when I didn't trust it could happen, he still did it anyhow. Somebody needs to shout tonight, because in 2010, God did some stuff for you in spite of the fact that you didn't believe it, and he did it just to show you that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask and all you could think. How many of y'all are grateful tonight that every now and then he'll bless you even when you ain't got the faith?
So Jesus said, he said, rise. And I've heard this text preached. Yeah. Jesus reached out his hand, lifting him up. That ain't nowhere in the text. I've seen other stories where somebody reached out a hand, but that ain't nowhere in this text. All it says is Jesus said, rise. Jesus don't reach out his hand. That ain't in the text. Then it hit me. The brother's problem was not his paralysis. The brother's problem was assistance addiction. This ain't just a miracle about his legs. This is a miracle about his mind and his outlook. God help me. He got addiction assistance. He's addicted to assistance. Because to get to the pool, he had to have assistance. To get in the pool, he needed assistance. To get back home, he needed assistance. To get a meal, he needed assistance. Y'all ain't helping me. To do everything in his life, he needed assistance. And he's gotten addicted to having other folk do stuff for him. So I believe when Jesus said, rise, ain't nobody run to help him up so Jesus could show him you can get up by yourself. Without the us, I wish I could talk to somebody, because some of y'all in here got assistance addiction. You've been addicted to other people doing for you, and you don't realize that while you're addicted to them doing for you, they're addicted to doing for you, because they ain't got a life outside of you needing them for them to feel needed. So Jesus has to break the addiction and show you that what you've been looking for other people to do, you can do it for yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, rise. That was the wrong neighbor. Look at somebody else and tell them, rise. That was the wrong neighbor. Look at somebody else and tell them, you can get up on your own. You don't need that Negro to pay your bills. You don't need the government to help you. You can get up and do it for yourself. I wish I had a witness in here today. And can I tell you, don't nobody scare the devil like somebody who gets up. Because the last time somebody got up on him, he suffered the greatest defeat of his life. Anybody want to give the devil a flashback? Then I dare you to get up on your own and show the devil I can get up by my. Is there anybody in here who can say, I'm getting up by myself? Grab your neighbor by the hand and shake them and rock them and rock them and shake them and shake them and rock them and tell them 2011 is the year you going to get up by your. Woo! You going to learn to do it for yourself.
by yourself. If don't nobody help you, by yourself. If don't nobody come to your rescue, by yourself. If don't nobody help you praise him, you gonna praise him by yourself. You gonna be sitting around everybody who ain't doing nothing, but you gonna give it to him for yourself.
What? The Lord wants to show you that you have the power within yourself. To do what you've been waiting on other folk to do. Stop depending on people who may not be there. Because the folk who were assisting him, watch this. You know what they had to do? Pick him up, put him down. Pick him up, but slow over here. Pick him up, put him down. Slow over here. Pick him up. Negroes are sometimey. One week they'll pick you up. And the same ones that pick you up, the next week they'll... So I might as well depend on somebody who will never leave me or forsake me, who will always stand by my side, who will always walk with me. I'm just going to trust in him. Take somebody and tell them 2011 is the year.
I hear something, but no sound. It's like movement around. Say something.
While you remain on your feet, both in here and in the gym, take your Bibles in your hand and turn to the Gospel of John in the fifth chapter. The Gospel of John in the fifth chapter.
I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through, all right? Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. No, you said it to the wrong person. Grab the person behind you and tell them, say, hey, you, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. Come on, Uncle Richard, please. Let's do it.
Back on the feet, and I'm glad I don't look. Look at somebody, put your hand on your hip and just tell them, why don't you look like it? Back there in wheelchairs. Mama said I may be in a wheelchair, but I know how to look. Why don't you look like it?
Yes, Lord. Do it, Jesus.
Okay, I can hear this, Sister Derek. I know you hear some noise in there, but
no, Lord, without the noise. Come on, Lord. Do it, Jesus.
Okay, I'm working.
Jerry, can you hear me? It just needs a little more tweaking because it's on the way. God, thank you. Come on, God, it's saying what it looked like. Thank you in the mighty name of Jesus right now. For you are giving us everything we need. Father God, we are the man at the water. But I know you're about to perform a miracle. Lord, I thank you right now. Jesus in the morning is what each and every one of us listeners need. And I truly believe that you perform a miracle. Sister Pitt is going through too much. A daughter in the hospital with COVID-19. But that don't exist, God, because you're in control. In the mighty name of Jesus, that our voice will resonate through these sound system, we all should hear.
Okay, so Jerry.
Mm. Yes. Oh,
every time I sing up, it's got an echo in there. But I'm working on it.
But
really, I'm going to open it back up.
You just need to adjust that sound a little bit, something on the computer. Adjust that sound, Lord God. You can give us more than what we can bear. You can let Satan know he doesn't control anything in our lives. Oh, yes, Lord. I believe, Jesus. As I once heard you say, peace, be still. And as I once heard my mama say, Father, we're stretching our hands to thee. For there is no other help we know. I'm not going to be like the man that couldn't get to the water. I'm going to say, Lord, you're already healing me without the water. And I thank you, Lord God. I'm going to be like the lady that says, if I could just touch the hem of your garment, for we can be healed. See, Lord, you know the value of Barbara Pittman's voice. And we so all need prayer.
Okay, Sister Garrett. It's doing that now. I'm working on it.
Keep praying, Sister Barbara. See, some people run to the prophet. Some people run to the doctor. Some people run to the minister and the pastors and apostles. But I'm running to the man that's in control, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. For you control the universe. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, I have faith because hope works together. And all things work together for those that love the Lord. Lord, I need you to touch the sounds. That's the one thing the devil hates, is for the sound to resonate in the universe. So, Lord, we're going to say, all things work together for those that love the Lord. Lord, touch this system. I came on board because there is something in this ministry I need. And you provided it for me, Jesus. So I'm going to say the devil can't stop what you've already started. Daughter, right now. Let her come up off this here as a testimony. Touch this airwaves. Touch this radio station. Jesus, you're the reason for every day that we wake up. You wake us up. I woke up a little late, Lord, today, God. But you woke me up on time. I woke up when I was supposed to wake up. Yes, Lord, I woke up feeling a little shaky, a little sad, a little depressed. But, Lord, you said, stop it. And then I realized that station's not working. You say, I am the one that controls everything in your life, Jerry. So what you need to do is pray more and believe more. So I'm praying, Lord, that you put this sounds and by way through the universe. There's someone out there to know that you have not forgotten them. There's someone need to know, although I have a handicap, I'm not handicapped. There's someone out there like me, Lord, that I wake up with pain resonating in my back every day and hoping, and I'm done hoping, and now I'm praying. And you have allowed me to get up and start cooking. So I'm picking up my bed, Lord God. I'm walking through faith, and I'm believing that you are the one. Lord, touch that child that's laying in the hospital with mother can't come in there and be with them. Let them know they're not alone. Let the children know that although their mother or father's not there with them, they're not alone. And death shall not come upon their dwelling. Father, touch the person that can't move their hands or their feet. The hearing and the sight is gone. It's not gone. It's just temporarily on stop. For I shall see what you will have me to see. Remember he put the clay on the man's eyes and the man said, he said, what do you see? I see men looking like trees. Remember he was blind at birth. So how he know what a tree looked like? I tell you how you know what a tree looked like, because Jesus has already been showing it to him. When he couldn't see in the natural, Jesus was showing him in the spirit. He said, go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam, and you'll see men looking like me. How did he know how Jesus looked? Because Jesus has been showing him except in the spirit. So we're going to believe this day that we're going to be seeing Jesus and hearing Jesus. But Jesus is the truth and the life. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the first and the last in our lives. Father God, please don't stop Jesus in the morning show. I'm here on bending knees, believing that your word say, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that you are Lord. This show will go on. You didn't bring me out of sin for silence. That's right, Kevin. Clap on. Because me and my house, we serve the Lord. When our money is low because we live on a fixed income, you still provide that we can sow our seeds. Some seeds don't have to be 100 or 200 or 300. Give what you can, Lord, and I do that. And my meal barrel never goes empty. We eat good every day. Hallelujah. You took me from a job from $79,000 a year to a job that's once a month. But we're making it better than we was when we had a steady income. We're making it on one check a month. We eat good. We live good. And our lights ain't never been off. Our refrigerator never been empty. Then you took me from a good paying job to from having three checks and a husband with an income. Kevin and I, we down to one check, but the one check is doing better than all that other money. Because you taught me wisdom on how to spend the money. So when you send the money, I'll know how to be grateful. I'll know how to be valued with it. And I know that I can sow a seed and it won't affect my bottom line. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I'm trying to see if
Bobby, you do what you got to do because God is doing this thing. You got the devil angry because you're saving souls every day. Do it, Jesus, do it. You might want to power off and power back on, Barbara.
Come on. Mm-hmm.